What up, world? The Road to Victory podcast. I'm Man Diggity. I got my brothers in the building. Some of my favorite people in the world. I got the blonde boss here. And we got Young Fresh here.
Yes, sir.
The co-anchors, the co-hosts, my brothers for life, man.
Yes, sir.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
You already know. Fantastic. And only improving.
Fantastic and only improving.
That's like a trademark saying for you for when we get on.
Oh,
that.
For sure. It's the shirt. It's the documentary. It's the music.
And it's the girl getter. You know how many girls I make smile off that saying?
Yeah.
Ask me how I'm doing.
Oh, like, shit. Yeah. They be like, oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's an ambiance, man. It's an aura. It's a lifestyle.
I like it. I like it.
It's a lifestyle, man. For real, man. Turning a mess into a message, bro. Fresh, what up with you?
Now, everything good, man. You know, out here trying to make dollar out of 15 cent.
$1,000,001 at a time.
Yeah, you know how that go. But everything good, man. Good to be in the building. Always good to bless the mic. Pause.
The pause. Oh, yo, for real, man. I want to get into two things, bro. I wrote a song called Was It Necessary? And it's like all the errors and judgment, you know, for the past couple of years, you know what I'm saying? Reflecting, looking back in my life, you know, understand what brokenness is and how it applies to my life and you know, the first step into fixing it, you know what I mean? Fixing it, you know, because we was listening to something on the way over here. He said, yo, you're going to die broken. Right. And ain't nothing you're going to do about it.
Not broke.
Not broke. Broken. Broken. You know what I'm saying?
That's deep, though.
And for a lot of us, you know, what we going through, how we act, and our attitude is based on, you know, our childhood trauma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The stuff that happened to us, man. I just remember growing up, and my mom, she's soft now, but my mom's was strict. And I remember just being told no a lot. No, because we couldn't afford it, or no, because it wasn't good for me.
Right.
You know, my mom was my first teacher. She said, you know, the world will give you the tools that'll destroy yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, being young and not knowing why she was saying no. As soon as I got my freedom, bro, it was over. I was buying Jordans because I was hurt because I couldn't. My mom's ain't bought them for me, bro. I went through like a 2 years where I just was buying Jordans. I wasn't executing like Jordan in life, but I was wearing them to look cool.
Mics on.
I had the mics on, but I wasn't Mike in my life, bro.
Right.
I was just wearing them to look cool.
That's crazy, though.
It is, bro. So now, 35, you know what I'm saying? Trying to not enter the next year or 40 years, the next 5 years, you know, turning 40, not trying to have the same mindset.
Yeah.
And the same attitude towards life, you know what I'm saying?
How you trying to change your attitude?
Just make everything I touch more meaningful. You know what I'm saying? Adding more meaning, we all gonna die, bruh. Right, Fresh?
Yeah.
We all gonna die. Why not? Why not get the most out of life while you're here? You know, and I tried to get the most. I thought I was getting the most out of life, but I was just killing myself, bro.
That's a natural human function to enjoy your life by killing yourself.
Not really, because it's always weird when you got a bad habit and you go to the doctor. And the doctor's like, yo, if you keep doing this, it's going to fall off. And you like, but I like it. I like doing it.
I got to be my meat.
You know, stuff like that.
Nah, real talk though.
Yo, I want to live a full life, bro. I want to live a real full life, man. I want to look back and have no regrets. I want to tell everybody that I love them. I want to, you know, make as much money as I possibly can.
A life with no regrets, you have to learn your life lessons. If you don't take anything that comes at you as a lesson, you're always going to regret it. Right. So that's definitely a way to change one's thought process.
Always be a like, student.
Yeah, you gotta make mistakes. We're human. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I strongly believe. We gonna like things that ain't good for us in order to keep us going. Like, we're only human. It's a natural. Yeah. But we have self-control and we have willpower. And if we can help it, moderation.
Moderation.
Yeah. Like, you can do the things, just if you see it ain't working for you, then you definitely gotta change the way you operate. And once you start changing the way you operate, your brain process going thing. It's like not knowing, like, it's like being taken care of your whole life, but then out the blue, you have a baby. Mm-hmm. Now you have to change your entire way of life because it's no longer about you. It's about your baby. And now, just because of that, your whole mind concept is going to change. Facts. Without you even knowing it or realizing it.
Facts. That's good, Blonde Voice. That's good.
Yeah, so you probably just, like, need a traumatic experience. I think you probably just need a baby.
Baby fever?
Yeah, you need a baby. Like, yo, you'll be surprised at how probably hard you start grinding once you got that baby, man.
You know what's crazy? My mom, I was having a conversation with my mom. She was like, yo, I'm going to keep it a buck. Before I had job and dropped out in, like, the 10th grade, I'm like, Ma, if you dropped out in the 10th grade, you might as well dropped out in the 2nd grade. She was like, yeah, she ain't had nothing to look forward to. She was like, yo, I had nothing to look forward to. And then I had a job. That's when it started. She said, that's when it started to click.
Trying to change it.
That's when I started to discover opportunity. And you know what I'm saying? And start to build a life. But before y'all, I didn't have nothing to look up to.
A lot of people, unfortunately, they not got to wait for them to have kids, but some people this shit right here. Just leave it there.
Yo, where my clean joint at?
Oh, it's right there. You better.
I want another one.
I got you. But they just, you know, like, you gotta go through something to make you, like, realize, well, wake up. Like, some people is having kids. Some people is, so it might be the loss of a loved one. It might be just something that they experience for the first time. It don't necessarily have to be traumatic. It could be. But I think it's something that they experiencing for the first time, because somebody might not look at having kids as a traumatic experience. It's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about, I'm experiencing this shit for the first time. How this shit gonna affect me? How it's gonna hit me? Some don't. Like, I know people that 10 kids in, they still acting like they, you know what I mean? Like, when we were teenagers and shit.
Kids, they got.
Yo, do you feel like you're taking life serious, or you could go harder? Or, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's about half and half for me.
I could go harder. Half and half?
Yeah, because I go hard with things that I enjoy doing.
Right.
And that I know at the same time it is definitely going to pay off.
Right.
But there's other things that...
Like motherfucking hacking. See, I got 8 computers in the house.
It says, don't tell the world. I don't need everybody over here.
My fault. They don't even know the secret location. You know what I mean? They don't even know.
We
you know
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the whole city view. Don't even. Yeah, they can fuck around and pull up if they want to.
Yeah, congratulations on the new spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice neighborhood. You got everything around the neighborhood.
You were. I just got something to eat. It's 3 a.m. and it was a line, nigga. Like,
welcome to New York. It's a concrete jungle that never sleeps. This is what I love about New York. You can't have this nowhere else. You can't have this like in Florida.
They tried. When I was in Orlando, it was trying to be like this. Goddamn.
But it was probably too dangerous.
Yeah. Nigga, it's only gas stations open at the like a certain time.
Yo, what is going to take for us to turn that switch on?
Like what?
Like lock in.
Wake
like,
up.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like every year of the playoffs, LeBron say I'm getting off social media.
Right.
Zero dark 30. Lock in.
Find that focus.
Yo, you have to train yourself to focus, bro. It can't be like one day or a couple hours out of the day. It gotta be like a consistent pattern.
Right.
Otherwise, anything to distract you.
Yeah, you know what I need to do to lock in?
What?
Like, get away from y'all niggas.
Get away from us?
Yo, I love y'all. Y'all my family. And it's like, the more we together, we can't do nothing. We can't do shit. Yo, you was just here yesterday. How many times you was like, yo, we got to write this book. We got to write this show.
Right.
And then we just started talking about nothing.
Right.
Be like that. Yeah.
I'm like, is this nigga talking about the toll bridge don't take pennies? He talking about pennies?
What?
You said talking about absolutely nothing. As opposed to somebody that I was doing business with, like you probably would have got a lot more done in the two hours.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yo, I got a story. It's the funniest story in the world, right? When I was at the job, right? It was this dude and this girl, she used to ask him, "Hey, I'm making, he used to always hang out in the break room. He used to come in hours before his shift and just chill in the break room.
Yeah.
So the girl was like, "Hey, could I draw you? You know, you always said, can I draw you?"
Yeah.
And she made a whole comic book about this dude and call him King of the Break Room.
Word.
And he felt so hurt because he was like, damn, yo, they... You know, this is a corporation. If they see him just chilling in the break room, it don't look like I'm executing at the highest level. So he like, yo, let me stop chilling. And I asked a dude that we hang out with, like, yo, you be in here too. Why she ain't do that to you? And he said, I don't play with them. And I'm like, what you mean? He said, you play with a dog, it'll lick your face.
That's deep.
He said, you play with a dog, it'll lick your face.
Don't play with them.
He ain't gonna do it.
don't play around. I get it. That's dope.
Some people be too serious with it. I was on an elevator, and this dude, he had Popeyes, but that Popeyes was blocking the elevator door from closing. So I joke around like, oh, now you gotta give everybody in the elevator a piece of chicken. And then he looked at me like, what? I felt the intensity from the what? Like, I heard it in his voice. Like, yo, he was about to fight me.
I said,
whoa,
chill.
It's a joke. I'm like, yeah. Like, y'all, I'm just joking.
Like, see how I looked at you when you tried to grab my burger? Right? Not how I looked at you, but like, I was like, wait, hold up, man.
The messed up part is, I thought he was finished.
Nah,
yeah.
Some people don't play with their food.
Nah.
Like, no joke.
Yo.
Some people just don't play with
their food. McDonald's and Popeyes.
Yo, if anybody know me, everybody know I hate confrontation.
Yeah.
Like, I hate, like, I grew up spoiled, man. Like, people fought for me. People always stood up for me, and people fought for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Which is like a gift and a curse. The feel like, yo, Aunt Chill, we got this. Hang back, man. It just is like just to know you that type of person. That it was always a gift and a curse because people would die for you, but they won't live for you. You know what I'm saying?
So, what you mean?
Huh?
What you mean?
People die for you, but they won't live for you. So what I mean is, like, if anybody do any wrong to you, they want to retaliate with wrong or even more wrong. But they won't get their life together, you know what I'm saying? Live to their fullest potential.
Yeah, take care of you, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, that's ill.
Yeah.
Yo, that is so ill.
Take care of themselves.
Lauryn Hill said
that
it.
That is so ill.
Lauryn Hill said it in X Factor. She said, you said you die for me. Why won't you live for me?
Right.
Lauryn Hill said that in X Factor.
Yeah, but, like, I don't listen to Girl Sauce.
Lauryn Hill is probably the only female artist.
Man, I still listen to songs.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, listen to music. Like, we know meet songs, but yeah. I don't know the lyric.
But let me get back to what I'm saying. Confrontation. I hate confrontation. People always stood up for me, and it's a gift and a curse because, you know, as an adult, you know, you gotta learn to fight for yourself. And stand up for yourself and don't let nobody walk over you and play you, because once they do it once, it's
over.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now it's expected. You know what I'm saying? So my nurse at the treatment spot, he got this thing where I think he's bipolar. So it's like one day he's super loud, one day he's super quiet, one day he's super loud, and this and that. So me and him kind of became cool, but so now the more we become cool, the more he touching. Touching. Like,
did he say Paul?
Nah, it's like
telling you jokes and,
you know, like, yo, you crazy, slap you in the back of the head and stuff, like stuff your uncle used to do in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Slap you back in the head.
What you bullying me for?
You know what I'm saying?
Just playful hitting.
So one day I'm in there knocked out. He come tapping me on the head and the face while I'm knocked out asleep. Mid-treatment. Treatment is 4 hours and 30 minutes, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm staying up all night. I'm going there top of the morning. And that's when I get to sleep.
Right.
And so he did that. And I'm like, yo, bro. I tell him straight up, like, yo, bro, you disrespect me again, I'll be doing dialysis in prison.
Like, what?
Yo, I've never seen somebody go from one move to another move so fast.
Word?
Yeah. I knew I couldn't control what I was saying because it was just like, bruh, boundaries, bruh.
Yeah.
Boundaries. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't stop it, you know, if you don't stop it, it's like going to an ATM and there's no pen. You could just take out If somebody could just take out money, they would take it out. They would take it out until there's no more money left, right?
Keep doing it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't say nothing.
You got no.
Oh, no, I read that in the book. The man that doesn't like confrontation actually has to fight the most. You are a forever soldier if you don't like confrontation.
That's crazy.
It's tough because I think about that all the time. That's one of the fears, you know, especially just being on this earth and, you know, trying to start a family and growing up in New York City. Like, yo, I have to protect my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to be.
I gotta be on go.
Exactly. Defend. And you know how it was in the Bronx, Prospect, you couldn't even walk down the block with your girl. They'll grab your girl hand and stuff like that in front of you. And you gotta defend her honor. It's like 20 dudes.
So, yo, why your hand was out?
I told you not to wear those jeans.
Come on, man.
Why you walking so close? He wouldn't have been able to touch your head.
That never would have happened.
You would have been
across the street.
I'm going to get you some turtlenecks.
So now I got to fight the world.
You going gothic. I'm going to get your whole gothic outfit. You're going to be emo. Ain't nobody going to want you.
Yo, you know who I feel sorry for? Anybody who got... like the baddest chicks in the world to quote unquote protect, whether they're your daughter or your sister or your niece or something. It's like, yo, and then it will make it even worse if they the hoe.
They the hoe. Yeah.
As a parent, I don't know, like, how I won't even know honestly how I would deal with that.
But everybody got a hoe face.
Not everybody.
Everybody got a whole
face. It may not be a whole phase or something, but I think they experiment. You know, everybody had their little, you know, they experience different things, right? Some people stay in that shit, whether you call it a phase or not. Like some, you know, they don't get out of that shit. Some do. I think, but not everybody, but if they, you know what I'm saying?
I would say definitely majority people.
If they active, you know what I'm saying? They out there doing what they doing. You're going to want, like, as a man, right? None of us have daughters, right, in this room. So, we can't even speak for, like, yo, as somebody raising a daughter. But, from outside looking... as a man, I wouldn't want my daughter to be on some, yo, I'm gonna get with the first dude that I'm in love with. Like, I'm that's it. The first guy I've been with, this is it. This is gonna be the guy I'm with for life. And that's
he was the 7-day trial.
Right, like, it's like, hold up.
But how many of those did you have in your day?
How
many chicks did you have that probably had that mentality towards you, Ryan?
I mean, I could probably count a few, but I'm not with them now. So that shit was for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to experience life, shorty. Don't be caught up on, oh, man. Like, because I don't know how old you want to put an age on it, but they're a teenager or whatever. They're getting into the, you know what I'm saying? They're getting into life.
Mm-hmm.
And as they get into life, you gonna want her to how about the dude, you know, that's getting her experiences new is an asshole. But she don't know he an asshole. She love him because he opened her eye to something new.
Something new, yeah.
You don't want her, right? You ain't gonna want her to settle for that nigga because you know he an asshole. Like, you want her to be out there, find somebody that's going to do her right. No matter how long, you know what I mean? Like, no matter, I don't know some people might be like, oh, nah, I want my daughter married at a certain age or whatever. Don't put an age limit on it. Just make sure who she with is going to be for her. Not no asshole like, oh, man, you are. Like, if I had an 18-year-old daughter and she would tell them about she want to marry her 18-year-old boyfriend, I would be like, hell no. Because I know how I was thinking at 18. I wasn't suit for the marriage. And I know most niggas ain't at 18.
That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm going to tell you why that's a lie.
Why?
Because I'm going to tell you how it go.
Yeah.
It started off in elementary school. For every man, when he was in elementary school, you had the first love. Y'all used to play house. That was your wife. And you was going to spend the rest of your life with her. Right,
I felt that way about every other grade that I was in.
And then she left you.
Oh yeah, I would definitely spend my life.
And then she left you for the classmate that had the better pencils or better candies.
They had more candy.
And you was hurt. And then that's why every man was like, you know, F that. We gonna get these girls because that girl when you was 9 years old that left you for the dude that had the better crayons. He had the crayon pencils instead of the Crayolas. All right,
so.
And before, then that's how you grow up.
That's how you become a man. So before that happened, yeah.
Yeah, you saw, that was your wife, like, and you saw a life. You like, saw man, a life. See,
you, all right, so before the real, before life hit you, right? You might be innocent. Like, yeah, man, this is who I want to be with for the rest of my life. I would tell that person, like, wake the fuck up. Like, hold up now. You 18 or however old. I remember this one time. I was in Mexico. This was 10 years ago. Damn. I was in Mexico with my moms, right? And we went out there. And this is wild. It was like, it was my first vacation with my mother. And the first time we went out out the country together. It was like, yo, this is going to be, you know, I'm old enough. I can finally take my mom. It was for her birthday. I finally take her out. I could do something. You know what I'm saying? I got some bread, whatever. And we was doing, niggas, it didn't hurt. Yeah, niggas was doing World Ventures too. So, whatever. We go to Mexico. And everybody in Mexico think that's my lady. They thinking... as a relationship, like, this is sugar mama or something, and this is, you know what I mean, this lady, she got a young thing.
It happens.
And it does, right? But that was just how people was viewing it, so we actually had to talk to people, like, nah, this is a mother and son, like, that's my mom's. What the
fuck? They like, why would you bring your mom's to Mexico?
Yeah, they're like, what in the world? Like, this my mom's, bro. But this was before.
Well, what kind of expression is that? That's not bring sand into a beach.
You're right.
What do you call that?
Just don't do it.
Bring it a beach to the beach.
Bring it joy to the tub.
Like, don't do it.
Dish soap to the tub.
It's a nigga, that's bringing a pool to the beach. It's like, what? You got a beach. Why you got the bomb here?
What you doing with pool water?
Yeah, like, what the hell? It's two different worlds. But, like I said, this was years ago, so I wasn't even, like, I was young. I wasn't even, it didn't even register. Like,
wasn't
wait.
That young. 10 years, you'd be like 35.
I was 24, 25. Like, I was young. Not to the point where, like, oh, I know what I know now. I ain't gonna, like, I would never go, not never, but yeah, that's definitely a destination, like, a romantic getaway with a significant other, not your mother.
Well, depending on what y'all doing, right. I mean, like, y'all ain't going out there prostituting. What, like, y'all going out there prostituting?
Who's going out there? Who?
Prostituting.
Nah, nigga.
All right, so then, nah, yeah, y'all good.
The fuck?
Y'all, yeah,
getting a hoe on this, nah. Who's out there?
Just for the sights, yeah. That's
motherfucking sightseeing and cruising and, you know what I mean, going on excursions and shit. But... the whole point of this shit, right, was the fact that we had to talk to people because people was assuming the wrong things. Right. So, speaking to people, speaking to other people, right, because now niggas is like,
all right, well, how old are you? Because they trying to figure out how old. I'm like, I'm not even that old to be married. I'm young. And I was telling him, I'm like, dude, I'm like 24. 20, and the dude, the bartender, was like 22. And he's like, oh, yo, shit, you not married yet? You mad old, bro. We get married at 18. He's like, I've been married for like 5 years already. And he's like 22.
Yeah.
And, but the culture, like in Mexico, 18,
yeah, that's how
they getting married.
Married.
Because that's just the culture. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Like 18, like if you 21, 22, not married out there, you unfit. You know what I mean? They like, oh, something wrong with you. Oh. You ain't married. Oh. The American views is different. And then, but all that, because that's how it used to be back in the day, like when our parents and shit, like how your mother, how you mentioned your mom, said she dropped out when she was 16, well, not 16, but around that age, right? Yeah. Most of the people in our family, they did the same thing, right? It wasn't like, oh, man, why my mom do that? She was just following suit of what she knew, right? Because her mom did it, you know what I'm saying? All my aunts pretty much did it. Right. It was all structured. Why? Because they was getting married at like 16, 17, wow, having a family and going up. And all that, if you want to really be honest, all that came down to was having sex or not. Like, basically, if you was having sex and you wasn't married, you was going to go to hell. You was a hoe. You was all the bad things that, yeah, you know what I'm saying, in the 50s or whatever the time.
So they was getting married to have sex?
Hell yeah. Watch Bridgerton. Y'all niggas never seen Bridgerton on Netflix?
Nah.
That whole series is about them girls getting married so they could go have sex. Because they ain't know what sex was about. And it was like, oh, you can't do it till you marry. Like, that was just the whole thing, bro, at the end of the day, really. It was like, yo, you want to have sex, huh?
What made you watch Bridgerton?
My wife.
Oh, okay.
Her watching it. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Therapy.
And then hearing, right? Hearing,
it was good.
I heard, like, when you, not when you watch it, like, when that shit is on, of course, Bridgerton is about some old school shit, right? Like, the old kings and queens, people, where everybody had wigs back in the days, right? So, the music that they playing is up to date, which is crazy. Because you know, like, for me, the shit was on. I'm walking by, I'm hearing, like, a hip-hop song being played by the band. There's supposed to be some classical Beethoven shit, but it's back that ass up or whatever. You're like, what the hell is playing? What is this? So and that's how I started watching it.
Mozart?
Yeah.
They did that in Ozark, too.
Playing just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They did that in Ozark, too.
Right. So, yeah, Bridgerton is funny. My mom, I caught my mother watching that shit the other day. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm watching Bridgerton. My granddaughter told me about this.
Yo, you know what's funny? You know, you said you went on vacation and everybody thought your mom's was your girlfriend?
Yeah.
It was the opposite with me. I was like 22 and I dated a 50-year-old.
Oh,
and shit. Everybody thought that was mother. Everybody thought that was my mother.
Like, no, this is my lady.
I like them. When I was young, I like them old. Oh. Now, the older I get, the younger I like them.
The younger you like them?
Yeah, when I was young.
Can't say that too loud, bro.
No, not like that. The legally younger. Not even 21.
That's correct.
Not even 21. I can't do nothing under 25.
Yeah, I used to have a rule when I was, even though I was younger then, but it'd be like, oh, if chick younger than my niece, I couldn't talk to her.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. One of my sisters is 6 years younger than me.
Yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't go under that.
Some people would be wild.
Then the youngest chick I have since I turned 30 had to be like 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about, you know.
Cuban shit.
That's about the right.
I love them so, old, yeah, because when you came home, the food was always in the oven.
Yeah. I like the certain age because that's just come with experience. So, like, yo.
And they wasn't about no bullshit. Everything was just blunt, straight.
Shit.
Straight up. They yeah. like the like, straight up.
Girls don't know nothing about that.
What she said? What she said? She said, "I can't have no babies no more, so you can shoot
the club up." Oh yeah. Shit!
Straight up.
Those are the best.
Come on,
I really felt like that.
You got me feeling invincible.
Nah, I be feeling like, damn, I didn't want to pull up.
So you know I ain't want to leave.
This is a PG podcast.
Trying to keep it cordial. Nah, gotta keep it PG, man. Gotta keep it PG.
Yeah, man. But we in fourth quarter, man.
Yeah, it's crunch time. If you ain't preparing for 2024 already, you already lost.
You're already behind.
Because it's like 2 weeks away.
Seriously, though.
Real talk.
Yeah, I want to be.
Got Halloween and.
Yo, I want to be free of these imaginary shackles I put on myself.
What you talking about?
Free
of the imaginary shackles.
Yeah.
What imaginary shackles?
I heard somewhere sometimes you gotta give yourself permission to be successful. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta sit in somewhere quiet.
And give yourself permission to be successful.
I think
just give yourself permission.
What you think about that?
I think so. But I think it's more to the fact that you gotta be prepared for success. And it was more like basically what I'm saying is, and this is why most, like, look at the people, some people that hit the lotto, right?
Yeah.
Only like 5-10% of them actually got the money 10 years later, 5 years later, even a year later. Why? Because if you woke up today or tomorrow with excess, 150 million, 250, or whatever, shit, you woke up with $1 million in your account. If you're not prepared for that $1 million, you going to blow that $1 million. That $1 million is going to be like $10. You feel me? Like, that $1 million is going to last. Like, if I gave a crackhead $10 right now, how long would $10 last? Like that dude that came up to the car when we was coming down here.
That $10 was gone before he asked.
Before we even drove off. You feel me? Because he not prepared. Like, you got to be prepared for you. So, I think the people that go through the struggle with success and the ups and downs and shit, that's preparing them for it versus the ones that get it just handed to them. And because it's like, yo, look at, this is just a recent example, even though it's not as crazy as where I'm going to go or where I want to go, but y'all can get the point. Look at Ja Morant, right? He on top of the world. Right, all success in the world, but he can't act right. He doing this shit to himself, and it's like, you put any one of us, anybody that you, I guarantee, if we was to look in any one of our phones, right, and grab any contact from any one of our phones, and put them in those positions that Ja Morant is in, that person would act 100 times better than Ja Morant would be acting.
I don't want to disagree with you, but I guess you could look at it like this. I saw an episode of Curvy Enthusiasm, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was hitting on a receptionist, and she was sitting behind a window.
Yeah.
Behind her was a window. And Larry Davis said, the start off conversation, he says, "How long did it take you to take this view for granted?" He said, "If it was me, it'd probably a day." And I look out at it one time and be like, "Oh, this is a fire view of the city." Mm-hmm. He was like, "Maybe half a day, maybe an hour." You know what I'm saying? Take it for granted, just like that.
Right. And I guess because the person, they not, you gotta be prepared. I don't know. What, you know what I'm saying? It's like, basically.
All right, so you so used to having money, so you could be so used to having money that the more you don't realize that it's the what you is spending is not is more than what you making.
That too. Yeah, that. Because it's people that go broke in 10 minutes because niggas don't even... It's not even... But it's more about spending. It's more to spending than something, right? It's more about just... You don't know your boundaries. You don't know... You think every investment is a good investment.
Right.
You think everybody that come to you, you got to help because they your family. And you the nigga that got the meal. So... You like, all right, if my cousin asking me for 20 bands, I got to say, yeah, for every time somebody asks me for 20 bands. Now, I know when, yo, every time somebody asks you for 20, you could write that off as a tax write-off and start an LLC with your family, and y'all took all that money, and now y'all made it into a
fund and turned that $20,000 into $100,000. So now... Instead of your family coming to you for money, they're just going to the fund and they making their own money.
Right.
But that person won't know that because that person, they don't know shit about setting up a corporation for their family. Like some people would if they came for money. You understand what I'm saying? Right. So if they're not prepared for it, like I said, it's not just spending. It could just be not knowing what to do with it.
Right. That's true because I remember this thing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where the dude checked his account balance for the EBT.
Yeah.
And it said, you have $1,200. And he told the whole house to get dressed. What? They're like, everybody, get the kids dressed. Get the kids dressed. After he heard the balance.
He said, we out.
Yeah.
He said, everybody, yo, we going to Walmart, Target, everything. But yeah, you just got to, it's like, you're not prepared for it. And it was, damn, it was either Shaq or Ice Cube. One of these people, I think it was Shaq, that was talking about how they what they did was they set up something under like a family thing, and like basically they just put the money like they fired their manager, and they hired a CFO to run their business, to run their family, to run their. Like they set up, he set up Shaquille Enterprises and hired his cousin to run the family business and whatever. Like he hired people as his family and put them on payroll. Instead of giving them $100, I'm just going to sign you a check on payroll for $100. So now we both get some money back. And it's like, yo, if people don't know about shit like that, then they ain't going to be prepared for it.
Yo,
so,
that-
you know, you just got to be prepared for it.
At 30,
most people don't know about that. Most people just grow up just learning work for your check so you can feed yourself. That's what most people are taught.
Facts.
Yo, at 35, what hit me the most is the phrase, if you knew better, you do better.
You do better.
Because you don't know what you don't know, bro.
Right.
Exposure is key. What you are exposed to take you as far as you can go.
Hell, that's true, bro. I just said this one thing, right? Why that's true? I was just telling my moms about this shit because we were talking about like Trump or something. But I was telling my moms about the tax code, right? The tax code is a book on like the taxes, right? And this shit is thousands and thousands of pages long, right? Yeah. But like the first 100 pages of the book teach you how not to pay your taxes. And niggas don't even know that. Like the first, they set up the book to tell you how to avoid paying taxes in a tax book. Like the people that collecting the taxes. Yeah. Like if you do this and that, this is how you avoid. But nobody gonna read that book. Nobody gonna know what that shit. It's like, yo, if you knew better, you'd do better. That's why certain people could avoid prison time. You think everybody paying their taxes? Hell no. We just know the ones that we know. But it's people that's avoiding that shit all the time. I barely watch like the CS. I don't know. It started with a C. it's like C, not CNET, but it's like C something. It's always like the politicians and stuff on TV. And I seen that shit today. Somebody got fired. They was firing somebody, the House representative or something. And I was just watching it just because it was on. I was just like, all right, let me just see what this is about. And I was just looking around, and I was like, yo, look at all these damn criminals. Because I guarantee all these people, like, when you sign up to be a politician, they're not like, oh, yeah, you're going to be a politician, and your salary is $500,000 or $1 million or whatever. They salaries be like, yeah, you could be a state representative and make $80,000, $90,000, whatever the salary is. But all those people getting money that's donations and tax write-offs. And I was just like, yo, look how many people's in there that's just breaking the law and just getting away with this shit. Because I would guarantee if somebody giving me, if I'm running for mayor, if I'm running, I don't want to go off topic, but niggas just go off of like the mayor votes and president's votes and all that. We don't vote for the smaller legislations. But if we did pay attention to those, when they be doing their little campaign trails, and you know what I mean, people be donating, like they be getting thousands of dollars from companies, sometimes millions of dollars from companies. You think they gotta pay that back? Hell no. So imagine having a job where you're just taking donations from people. That's all a politician does. It's just, this person giving me donations. Like, they'll be like, to the point where when shit go wrong, like how shit was going with Trump, they was like, oh, this company donated $10 million to this Trump campaign. And this company donated, and they'll be like, oh, damn, that's your favorite. It's your favorites. Your favorites. CEOs is donating to Trump. What y'all gonna do about it? They were like, shit, we can't do nothing. That Coca-Cola CEO gave Donald Trump $10 million. Alright. And the whole point of the story is, you become a politician, you get this free money. And these niggas don't go to jail. Because they not breaking the law. But it's crazy because they prepared for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they reading these stuff is like, they wrote the book. Like, they always say, it's something that always stick with me. The pen is mightier than the sword. Because if I write this shit, the outlaw of the swords, the fuck is, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? If I'm writing the code that's telling y'all niggas what not to do, damn sure I got the code that's telling y'all what to do. So everybody reading the shit, oh man, we can't do this and that. No, they got the book that's telling other motherfuckers they can't do this, but we could do this. Oh, we should do that. And then we all know what Jada said, man. You want to hide it from him, put it in the book. But that's it, man. That's my rant. That's my rant, man.
I saw put it in the book.
Yeah, man.
You going to end it with that?
Yeah, man. That's it. That's my rant, man.
Nah, bro.
I had some shit on my chest, man.
Me too, man. Yeah, I see a life for all of us that it's like multiply what's going on right now, bro. Because I feel like at our age, potential is a bad thing.
Right.
Potential is a bad thing.
Yeah, you don't want to hear nobody say you got potential at this age.
Yeah, come on, man. Only time it's a good thing is when you 8. You know what I'm saying?
Or 8. Or 18. Once you out of the teenagers, you don't hear, yo, you had the potential, bro. You potentially could, unless it's like you going for a job and they're like, well, you potentially gonna make this much money, but you ain't. Nah. There you go, dig.
That's me?
That's you.
Yo, I've been writing music for 20 years, man. And if I haven't seen a person in a long time, that, you know, the make small conversation, that's always, yo, you still doing music?
Yeah.
You still writing? You
know? Like, no. That shit doing me.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to maintain. So I'm just living.
Like, no. Trying to make it happen or something. Nah, man, but people,
I don't know if I was having this conversation with you, but it was like
the mic, bro. He cannot stay in front of the mic.
Cause man, it's a whole it's a whole what you call? It's a whole
world outside that we ain't safe from.
Nah, yeah. Nah, I was gonna go mad left with it. I just couldn't think. It's gonna be like, yo, I'm not used to talking.
I'm never gonna say it.
But I was saying it was something, and it was like, it was basically I don't know who I was having this conversation with. If it was with you or Smooth, I don't know. But it was on some. Damn. I forgot.
You forgot it?
Yeah. Because now when it said the joke, I was going to say. I'm not even going to say the joke.
So I was trying to think of the real shit. I was talking. It was something. If you had said something.
I said,
before.
Yeah, okay.
The mic situation. And I was going to say some.
Yo, like, yo, I got it. What can we challenge ourselves to, and hold each other accountable to do?
Nah, nigga, that wasn't it. Nah.
No, I'm saying now. Because we can't remember the old. I'm trying to carry y'all on my back.
I'm trying to move on.
I'm trying to carry y'all on my back.
My fault, man. Nah, but go ahead, man.
I forgot what it was again.
I said, what could we challenge ourselves to do to hold each other accountable? I say write a show. Like, literally write a show. Like, responsibilities, just like a job. You know, it's time to clock in, take lunch, and clock out.
We could do it. We could write a show. Has nobody ever written a show before? Anybody ever written anything before?
YouTube University. we could find people that write shows.
It ain't hard. Anything is possible.
I'm pretty sure it's probably just like writing a long movie or something.
Yo, I heard that on Instagram too. Dude said, 70 index cards equivalent to 70 scenes. You got a movie.
I dig it.
You got a movie. 70 index cards. 70 scenes.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna sound. It sound easier said than done. Like everything, but there's a will, there's a way. If niggas, if you want to write a show, ain't nothing stopping you. You got the resources, cause you got the brain power. You got everything you need. Only thing that people wouldn't. You know, like, oh man, I ain't gonna write a show because I ain't gonna have a chance to film it. Nowadays, you can go and get a camera.
You can shoot it from your iPhone.
It got, especially if you got an iPhone Pro, Max, Turbo, whatever. I don't know. They just call them shit. Whatever they call them just now. iPhone 1000. And you can shoot a clear movie. So you just gotta make it a show. Going, you know what I'm saying? You want to do a show? Let's do it. Gotta make it. Just gotta make it. That's it. Just do it. I just found.
We brought it to life on this podcast, episode 290 or 300. I lost count. But yeah, we brought it to life on this joint, and I'm held accountable by my audience. Mm-hmm. So y'all see me on the street. You could check me.
Yo, what up with that show, dude? Yo, you know what?
I'm working on scene one right now.
I'm doing that. I'm working on it right now, bro. Nah, it's lit. It's lit. I'll tell you a concept I had for a show. But this wasn't.
If somebody steal my show, that's word to mother. I'ma find you. Alright. That's still what I'm telling you. If Hollywood get this show, yeah, I know it came from this podcast, from Road to Victory. So we want I want 90%, and then I give you 10. Nah, but the show is gonna be called Only Me, right? And the show is about this person going, this person navigating through the adolescence of becoming a man, right? Of I don't know if that made sense, but the lessons of becoming a man, going through going from, basically it was going to start at the character's senior year of high school, and it was going to go from there to like, I don't know, maybe to that person was in his, however many seasons niggas could get, right? It's like, all right, maybe I got like 4 or 5 seasons worth. So probably like 25, 24, whatever. But anyway, it was going to be called Only Me, and it was going to show the dude navigating through life, right? And these, not weird encounters, but everything was going to be from like real life experiences. And it was shit that either I said, yo, this could only happen to me, or at the end of the day, I could only be me, type shit. So it was like, yo, what experience in life did I go through that I said those, you know what I mean, one or two things was the outcome. It was like, yo, this shit could only happen to me, right? And I was like, all right, let me write them down. And if it was good enough for me to be like, that's funny to film, that was going to be an episode. Right. You feel me?
Right.
So you could do it like that. You could take stuff and be like, damn, son. Like, I remember, like, damn, this is only me. I was with my cousin, and he was like, yo, I got this white girl around the corner. The white girl came through, and it was, you know, basically at the end of the night, I was like, yo, this kid could only happen to me. But it'd be stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I wouldn't want to go too crazy. But I was like, damn, I went. And I met this girl offline, but not online, like online with the network, offline on the phones. So it was just off like the walkie-talkies offline back in the day. And then when I met her, she was like, oh, you in the Bronx? I'm in the Bronx. Cool. Where you at? I gave her the address. She came to my cousin's house at 5 in the morning. And then 7 in the morning, somebody was calling my phone talking about my daughter ran away. I know she with you. She left a note. Once again, I was like, yo, this shit can only happen to me. So that could have been the episode. Real shit.
Yo, I've been writing shit Blind Boy Say Down for the last 2 years, bro. And we about to go through the files.
You do it now, I'm telling you. We about to go through all the files that you wrote down that I should have been saying.
Oh, man.
Yo, when you talk about creating the show, bro.
That ass. It's like, yo, that's one simple idea, right?
Yeah.
And if we, like how, what you call? Jay-Z's song Cry. Right? He took 3 different relationships made to one big song.
Right.
It was a platinum. It was a multi-platinum song.
Right.
So we could take three different lives, make it one big life, and that's the name of the, you know what I mean? That's the show right there. And nobody gonna know who experience it was, cause it's all three of ours. But they,
yo, we all been through something.
Right. They just ain't gonna know who's is who.
Yo, I got it. Ready?
Yeah.
So Blind Voice just moved in here. I come in here. I said Blind Voice, it smell funny in here. I said it smell like Muslim.
What?
He said, yo, it can't. He says, yo, it can't smell like Muslim in here because I'm a Christian, but it smell like Muslim must. Muslim must.
What?
And I'm a Christian.
You about to get us kicked out. Nah, man, niggas about to boycott this shit.
You said Muslim must.
Said, nah, hold up. Just for that was an old joke.
This was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I was trying to save it. He like, nah, nigga, I just thought of this shit yesterday. Trying to save this nigga. Goddamn. Yo, I said that 2 weeks ago. I was like, yo, that's when we was young and we ain't know no better. He said, no. It's yesterday. Shit smell like Muslim mustard. Like, what? Oh, man. No beef. I want no beef. My brothers. I love everybody. Assalamu alaikum. I love everybody. I love everybody.
Oh, peace be with you.
Yes. Please.
Yo, ended it.
This is what happened. When you do a podcast at 4:30 in the morning, and neither one of us slept, so niggas is up all night. I'm gonna edit that part out.
That's the funniest part of the whole thing. God, that's needed. We need this.
Oh shit.
This is gold.
Oh Christ, bro.